I'm human and you're human. We can't anticipate everything. We can't remember everything. We can't be that person, that anchor for everyone. You only have a limited capacity to get things done in a day. And just know that when things fall through the cracks, when you drop a ball, it's not because you're weak. You're not working hard. You're doing great. You're probably doing better than most people are. You're doing great. You're listening to episode 196 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only six things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. My name is April and I'm your host. This week, friends, it is you and I having a very important conversation about a topic that I know is very important to you all. And the reason why I know that it is within the span of about a week, I heard from multiple of you asking for us to cover this topic. And the topic that we're going to be covering this week is cognitive load and decision fatigue. Now, before we dive into that topic, what it is, and some tips for helping when you're finding yourself in that situation, I want to say a couple of things. As always, I want to say thank you. Thank you for being here. Our podcast is growing. You have no idea how happy it makes me every week when I log into our podcast platform where it magically disseminates these episodes out to all the places where people can get podcasts. I look in and I get to see how many downloads we have, and they're growing month over month. And that's happening because of you guys. It's happening because you guys are sharing these episodes with your friends. You are telling people about the important work that we're doing here, and other people are joining our community. So thank you. Thank you so much. One of the other things that is helping us grow is the fact that our number of ratings and reviews on iTunes are also growing, and that's also due to you. I want to thank each and every one of you who has left us either a rating or a review. You have made us one of the top-rated podcasts on iTunes, and that's awesome, especially given that we are talking about such important topics that impact people's lives on a daily basis. The more reviews, the more ratings we have, the more people our podcast gets exposed to, and the more lives and people we can help. So thank you. I know it may not seem like it, but you play a role in that, a very important role, and it means so much, more than I can even describe. I want to plug another quick resource that we put together like this episode. This episode is in response to a number of you reaching out saying, hey, can you talk about this a little bit? Because I feel like I'm experiencing it. A resource we put together recently, we put together because we heard from a number of you. As you know, life is hectic and difficult right now. A lot of families are still juggling remote, you know, work, they're juggling virtual school, they're juggling having people home or just an upheaval in their routine. And all of that leads to a lot of overwhelm and anxiety. And for many of us who want to show up and do a good job on a daily basis, it leads to perfectionism. And we wanted to put together a resource for you If you happen to be one of those people who's experiencing those three things, overwhelm or worry or anxiety and perfectionism. So here's what I've got for you. If you head over to peakmindpsychology.com/support, you'll see a place where you can put in your name and email address. If you do that, you'll get immediate access, as in that moment, access to three modules, which are essentially in the moment techniques and tools that you can use when you're feeling worried, when you're feeling perfectionistic, when you're feeling overwhelmed. These are techniques where you can log in, you can find the one that sounds like the experience that you're having. Hey, I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now. Hit play, and we will guide you through an evidence-based intervention or technique or tool. It's a lot of visualization and a lot of self-work, basically, to restore calm and to restore balance in your thinking and in the way that you are experiencing whatever challenges are going on right now. So again, that address is peakmindpsychology.com/support. Nearly 1,000 of you have gone to that website to check out that resource. We would love to see that number grow because we know and we've heard from you that it's impactful and helpful. So we would hope that you would pop over there, check out that free resource. Again, peakmindpsychology.com/support. With all that said, let's dive into this week's episode. As I mentioned, we heard from a number of you within about a week. I don't know what was happening in the world at the time, but a number of you reached out and said, hey, cognitive load or its related companion, decision fatigue. Can you cover that and talk about what it is, where it comes from, and more importantly, what in the heck we can do to reduce it? And so that's where this episode came from. So let's dive in to, we'll start with what it is and where it comes from, because I find that when I'm experiencing something really difficult, it can really help me minimally to have some compassion for myself, to understand where it's coming from, because a lot of these experiences that we have, these psychological experiences like decision fatigue, like cognitive load, there's a reason why we're having them. It's not because we're weak. It's not because we can't handle things. It's not because somehow we are lacking or deficient in some way. It's because we're humans with a brain that is operating the way brains do, and we're only human. And this is one of those situations. So I want to go through what it is and how or why it happens so that you can minimally develop a little bit of self-compassion for yourself that you are only human. You are a human with a brain. And that's why it's happening. Okay, so diving into what it is and why it happens. If you think about, we've talked about this a number of times on the podcast. Our minds have one basic goal. They want to keep us alive while expending the least amount of energy possible. And we've also talked about sort of the two sides of the coin to our minds. We typically talk about this in the form of an iceberg. So think about an iceberg where there is an itty-bitty-bitty bit of it, or, you know, proportionally an itty-bitty bit of it that is poking out of the surface of the water. This is the part that you can see. And then there is the proportionally much larger side of the iceberg that is under the surface of the water. So, okay, get that image in your mind right now. Imagine that iceberg is your mind. And the surface of the water is consciousness. This is the point at which you become consciously aware, or awareness is another example or another word we can use to describe the surface of the water. This is the point at which anything above it, you're aware of. These are thoughts that you are aware of, thoughts that you know about, and also a chunk of them are thoughts that you have control over. So if I said to you, tell me a story about a bird, you would use this part of your mind, this conscious, deliberate is another word, aware part of your mind to construct a story that has something to do with a bird. This is something that you are intentionally doing. Now, below the surface of the water, this is the part of our mind that operates at the level of information encoding and storage. This is sets of habits, sets of heuristics, sets of mental schemas and models, and other relatively automatic, helpful things that happen in our mind that are outside of our awareness. Really deep, 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 deep down there is the part of our brain that makes our heart beat, for example. We are not cognitively or consciously aware of the mental energy or brain energy that is happening in order to make our heart beat. We have no awareness of that. We also don't have awareness of some of the more long-term memory, deep ingrained mental shortcuts, heuristics, and habits that we've developed over time. For those of you who are familiar with the literature on triggers or primes or cues in our environment, that's the level at which these things occur. A great example that I always give to highlight this type of cognition is many of us have an ex. I'm talking about a past romantic relationship. Yes, I am. I just said many of us have an ex. We have a past relationship where during that relationship, we had multiple pairings, or what can happen with a lot of us is we had multiple pairings of being around that person and smelling that person's perfume or cologne, and being intimate with that person and smelling that person's perfume or cologne. Multiple repetitions mean that our mind pushes that association below the surface of the water. It encodes it. It becomes strong. And you break up with that person eventually. And a decade later, you walk through a crowded room of people and someone happens to be wearing that cologne and you are instantly flooded with memories and thoughts of that ex. That happened because that cologne or that perfume or that scent is a cue, a trigger, or a prime. You can use those words interchangeably for the purpose of today's discussion, that operated below the surface of the water and, you know, caused a whole lot of activity to happen, which created some thoughts that we were aware of. So that quick overview is sort of the two sides of the coin in our mind, right? The stuff that we're consciously aware of, the stuff that we are, can deliberately create, the things that we can control, and then the stuff that we can't. Now, all of this is related because there are differing amounts of effort, and this is like effort as in the sense of the word effort. So one of those types of cognition requires much more effort than the other one. The cognition that happens above the surface of the water requires way more effort for us to do. Things that are below the surface of the water, much less effort, much more automatic. We don't have to think about them, work hard for them. They just kind of happen. So going back to the way that I initially started this description, our minds' biggest goal is to keep us alive while expending the least amount of energy possible. And the way that it does that is to automate as much as possible, to push as much as possible below the surface of the water to keep that limited amount of energy that we have and that limited amount of cognitive capacity that we have that's above the surface of the water to keep it as clear as possible. Something that's important to note about this is it's one thing to talk about, you know, objectively, how much do we have on our mind, whatever. But the more important thing that I want you to have in mind right now is your subjective experience of how cluttered or spacious your mind feels. So cognitive load, keep that in mind for a second. Cognitive load or decision fatigue happens when we have too much stuff that we are consciously aware of, that we are deliberating on, that we are actively thinking about, the stuff at the top above the surface of the water. When there's too much there, we experience fatigue. We get overloaded. We begin stumbling over our words. We can't think as straight. We can't make as many logical or rational decisions, we get physically tired. You see people getting more forgetful. You've probably been in this type of situation where you've been under a lot of stress, you've had a lot on your mind, and you walk into rooms and you kind of forget why you went there. That's one of those symptoms. So a lot of us have experienced this cognitive load. What I want you to focus on is your subjective feeling or your experience of how spacious or cluttered your mind is. The more cluttered it's feeling, the more things you have in mind, the greater the likelihood is that you are under cognitive load or experiencing decision fatigue. Decision fatigue is just a subset of cognitive load where we've had to make too many deliberative decisions. We've had to think through the options on too many things, or we had to think through too many options, and we've just depleted our cognitive resources. Again, the limited stuff that sticks out of the water on our iceberg example. So all of this happens, and it happens more so in our modern life. Remember, our minds evolved a long time ago. Even the new parts of our minds, prefrontal cortex, the stuff that is responsible for our ability to deliberate or have conscious thought, even that part of our mind, it is still relatively old when you compare it to where we're at with our modern society. So in general, we have a lot more input that we're having to filter through. We have more devices. We consume more media. We can connect with people easier and more people easier than ever before because of technology, because of what, you know, people sort of call the shrinking global society. I could connect with somebody in Italy today if I wanted to. Our lives are increasingly full of incoming input from a lot of different places. And anytime we increase that amount of input, it is a recipe for disaster to put us into cognitive load and decision fatigue. Not only that, but think about, even the situation that we've all been in recently, but our modern society and our modern approach toward work and life outside of work. We are busy. We have a lot on our plate. For most people, if you're working a full-time job or even more, most people experience a situation where you are having to use a lot of that deliberative thought during the day, but you're also juggling a massive to-do list for things at home and a massive task list that you might want to do on your house and a massive list of things that you need to remember for your kids and all these little tasks that need to get done in order to keep life going. Those get piled on and added on to that plate where the only way that we can get them done is using that limited amount of mental capacity that we all have. So we have tons of stuff on our plate. We have a limited capacity to handle it. It is a recipe for cognitive load and decision fatigue. I hope that rather long explanation, I gave it because I want you to understand when you're in that experience, when work ramps up, when your kids get more needy, when we're at a transition point like back to school or the holidays are coming up and there's a lot of added tasks and additional detail, even more input, I want you to be compassionate with yourself about the fact that you're feeling cluttered. Again, let's go back to your felt experience, your subjective experience of how cluttered or spacious your mind is. You're feeling cluttered not because you're not doing a good job. You're not feeling cluttered because you aren't as mentally strong as someone else. You're feeling cluttered because you're a human with a brain that has a limited capacity that was not set up to have as much on its plate as just even a normal modern day would have, let alone, you know, some of these more unique ones like holidays coming up and other things like that. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not deficient. You're a human with a brain. I want to go back really quick to the freebie that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. I'll just lift the veil a little bit about what you will get if you sign up for that free resource. One of the things that is behind the curtain of that free resource is something called a self-compassion break. There is a formula, a data-driven, evidence-based formula to self-compassion, and we've embedded it in this tool and this resource for you so that you can use the power of self-compassion to help regain some of that mental spaciousness. So if you're feeling like you're beating yourself up about, wow, why can't I do more? Why can't I be better? Whatever, that self-compassion break is in there exactly for that reason. Okay, so that hopefully gives you an idea of what cognitive load, what decision fatigue, what they are, and why they occur, and how natural it is that they do occur, and how they can be one of the contributing factors to your experience of feeling like you have a very cluttered mind. So what do we do about it? I'm going to give you, in the last part of this episode, 4 tips in the form of the 4 R's to help you think about hacking the system, using your mind's natural tendencies in order to help you out rather than using them to create this situation where you feel a lot of mental clutter. This is exactly what we mean when we say your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest barrier and you get to choose. Your mind's going to do its thing on its own. It has these natural tendencies, these biases, these shortcuts that it takes. It has sort of the way in which it works, and it's going to do that, and you can leave it up to its own devices and let it make its own choices, and chances are if you do that, it'll become a barrier. You'll experience things like decision fatigue and mental load, or you can learn some techniques that will help you hack that system, use those natural tendencies that our mind has in order to move you away from decision fatigue, away from mental load. Now, I'm not going to promise we're going to get rid of it entirely, but I think by using some of these techniques, you'll reduce the degree to which you experience it. You'll increase the feeling of spaciousness in your mind and feel like you have a little bit more capacity at your disposal to use when you need it. So let's go through those 4 R's. The first R that I want you to keep in mind is reduce. Reduce, reduce, reduce. One of the key reasons why we experience decision fatigue and mental load is because we have too much on our plate. One of the quickest ways to reduce our decision fatigue and mental load is to reduce what we have on our plate. This means reduce the number of decisions you have to make, make them more default. Everybody's kind of heard that age-old example of how Steve Jobs always wore black turtlenecks because he didn't have to think about what he was going to wear that day. Think about that as inspiration. Where can you reduce the ability to make a decision, make it more automatic, make it more default? Don't even make yourself have to think about it. The decision has already been made. You get to operate on a default. So reduce the number of decisions you have to make. Reduce the input you're taking in. Simply having to process more content, process more stimuli, talk to more people, juggle more events. Reducing how much input we take in into our mind can help free up capacity. Do you need to spend that time on that blog post? Can you leave some of that spaciousness in your mind or leave some of that capacity? Just allow it to be unfilled. Now, a word here on this. We're not accustomed to this. Our society doesn't do this well. So when you begin these practices, if you try to put these things into place, especially the reduce one, it's going to feel weird and potentially quote unquote wrong at first. It's simply because we are not used to having space. We're not used to having capacity. We thrive on saying we're busy, we're overloaded, we're overwhelmed. That's our natural state. So when you move into a state that's not that, get ready for your mind to throw you thoughts and feelings to say, this is wrong, this is not okay, oh my gosh, we feel weird. Ugh. It will feel weird at first. Ride it out. So reduce your decisions, reduce your input. The second R is replicate. anytime you can create a system or a habit, you're basically using your mind's natural tendency to push stuff below the surface of the water. You're just helping it out. Create a system or a habit that allows for more familiarity, more automaticity, and less energy. Anytime you can do that, you're going to reduce your cognitive load. Maybe you always do certain things at the same time every day because it just creates a habit and you don't even have to think about it. Think about how little cognitive effort it takes for you once you have your outfit picked out to put your outfit on. Do you have to sit and think about, I wonder if I should put my underwear on before or after my pants? I wonder if I should put my shirt on before or after my pants, right? You've got kind of a way in which you do things. You've developed it in a very orderly, systematic way, and now you don't have to work hard and think about it. So where can you create a system or a habit that creates more familiarity and more automaticity in your tasks? The third R is reorganize. Our minds have a hard time doing something called context switching. If you're going from emailing at work to doing something really technical, to doing something really creative, to doing something really social, and you're sort of hopping around using different skill sets in your mind, that context switch, the switch from something more rote like email into something more immersive like a technical task or something more creative like a creative task, the just simply switching contexts from one type of task to another, that eats up a bunch of cognitive load. It's like switching gears in your mind requires a lot of energy and effort. So reorganize, this R means chunk like things together as much as you can. As much as you can, try to do all of your deep, immersive technical work all in one big chunk. Try to do your creative work all in a big chunk. Try to do your more rote work all in one big chunk. One of the biggest issues I see here is that people will be deeply immersed in work, potentially even hitting that, you know, amazing goal of being in a flow state, and then bing, their email pops. They get distracted, context switch over to answering an email, and then fight your way back down to get immersed in the process or in the activity you were doing before you got the email. That context switching is a killer in terms of decision fatigue and mental load. So try to avoid it as much as possible. None of these are going to be perfect. Just do the best you can. So reorganize and chunk like things together. And the last R is to act rapidly. Here's what I mean by that. A few weeks ago, we released a Mindset Minute Monday episode. If you're not aware, these are our new format episodes. They are 1 to 2 minute episodes that come out every Monday. They're quick, easy tips. We released a tip about this in particular, and that is if it is a very small task, if it is, you know, just sorting the junk mail from the mail that you need to look at as you walk in from the mailbox, for example, do it now. Act rapidly. Get it off your plate. That act of having to sort the mail out, or that act of, putting that pot away in your kitchen or something really small like that, the individual act doesn't seem like it's a big deal. But as they add up, what it does is it creates that massive to-do list, the huge list of tiny little things that you are now going over in your mind so that you don't forget it. Think about how much mental energy just the repetition and reciting that list takes up. Oh my gosh. And it's energy that you don't have to do if you just push that stuff off your plate right off the bat. So act rapidly about things that will not take you very long. They are basic. Look at it as an act of self-love. Like, April of the future, I love you so much that I'm going to sort this mail really quick so that you don't have to think about it later on. I love you so much that I'm going to take that task off your list. I'm just going to get rid of it right now, so that at no point in time are you wasting your precious energy thinking, shoot, I got to remember to sort the mail and look to see if my credit card statement came. Don't let yourself waste your cognitive energy, your precious limited cognitive energy, on tasks like that. So those are the four tips. I want to go through them really quickly again, just to make sure that you've got them. You can also find these on the show notes page for this episode. It's peakmindpsychology.com/blog/0196. The four tips, the four R's are reduce. So reduce decisions, reduce input, etc. Replicate by creating a system or a habit that gives you more familiarity and automaticity. Reorganize, chunk similar things together so that you can avoid context switching, and act rapidly. Do it now if it's small, keep it off of your list so you're not reciting it and using energy to remember it later. Final word on this, I'm going to go back to compassion. I want to talk to my type A's in the room. Hey, me too. I put an incredible amount of pressure on myself to remember everything, to have my day go smoothly, to really make sure that I am thinking ahead and preparing for what is to come. I'm human, and you're human. We can't anticipate everything. We can't remember everything. We can't be that person, that anchor for everyone. You only have a limited capacity to get things done in a day. And just know that when things fall through the cracks, when you drop a ball, it's not because you're weak. You're not working hard. You're doing great. You're probably doing better than most people are. You're doing great. Be compassionate with yourself. Remember that you are one human being with a mind that is limited. There's only so much capacity. Use these four tips to use that limited capacity on the things that really matter to you. You want to talk about your subjective experience of either spaciousness or mental clutter. Talk about one facet that helps shape your day-to-day life experience. This is a little bit of a tangent, but it's related. One content creator that I follow pretty closely is Sam Harris. He is the creator of the Waking Up app. He also has a book by the same name called Waking Up. The title of his app and the title of his book, Waking Up, is a great nod to what we're talking about here. When you are heads down, ruminating, reciting, trying to remember all of the things that you need to do, when you're under mental load, when you're constantly focused on all of that information and you're using up your cognitive capacity for that, you're not even awake. You're not here in the present moment. You're not experiencing life as it happens. Use these techniques to help you wake up, to create more spaciousness in your mind. And pay attention to the result in terms of your life experience day to day, the way that you experience and feel your day, day to day. Allow that spaciousness to happen. Don't let the fact that it's not something you're accustomed to make you feel like, oh my gosh, my mind feels spacious now. I must be forgetting something. Oh no, God, now I'm not. I'm about to drop a ball. I must be forgetting something. Nope. Let it happen. Let that spaciousness happen and watch the way your life experience transforms. All right, friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. If you would be so kind, I would love it if you would pop over to iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. As I mentioned, the podcast is growing and it's because of you. And I want to say thank you and keep going because holy cow, it's paying off. And this is great. If there is a topic you want us to cover, shoot us an email, info@peakmindpsychology.com. We're always looking for topics that you want us to cover. and we'll dig into them and create episodes that you guys need. So drop us an email. We'd be happy to cover them for you. And again, that URL for that free resource I mentioned at the beginning of the episode is peakmindpsychology.com/support. Immediate access to the three modules that you can use in the moment when you need help. All right, friends, have an amazing week, and we'll see you next week for another episode. Tell me if this sounds like you. I'll finally be happy. I'll finally take a breath. I'll finally find some balance when I get through this crazy season of life. We hear that from so many people, and the fact is, many times, life is just a crazy season. All of it. Between your career, your family, your community obligations, attempting to have a social life, and trying to fit in self-care, whatever that is, we end up feeling stretched so thin. Now, I want to challenge you to think about things differently. Rather than focusing on external circumstances and their impact on your happiness, your sense of ease and balance, and your mental well-being, what if instead you focused on something you can actually control? What if you built the psychological strength that would allow you to thrive through life when things are going well and even when they're not? What if you could feel less scattered, more in control, less anxious, more peaceful and joyful? We want that for you too. That's why we are so beyond excited to announce the beta release of our signature psych strength building program, Ascend. This program combines evidence-based tools, techniques, and information from the fields of psychology and life design to focus on three important modules: you, your mind, and your life. Learn your unique combination of strengths, values, and identity, and the ways in which they interact and lead you to approach life in your unique way. Dig into your mind to understand the conscious and subconscious processes that act as a lens through which you experience life. And finally, harness the power of life design to begin to steer your life into alignment with who you uniquely are. Enrollment in this beta round of Ascend is open now, and because it's our beta round, the price is astonishingly low. So if you have ever had even a suspicion that you could benefit from building psychological strength through a guided, science-backed experience, now is the time. Visit www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend for more information and to join us. Friends, it is time to build psychological strength. It's time to live by design and not by default. It is time to live like your life depends on it, because it does. Join us in Ascend by visiting www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. That's www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength. But not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so, but today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.